Welcome back. Rightly Dividing the World of Truth, episode 3. Welcome once again, sir.
Shalom.
For the past 12 days thereabouts, we've had tensions in Israel, between Israel and Gaza. And we want to rightly divide the world of truth to know Israel's place at this end time, scripturally.
You know, you will have observed that since this conflict started about 13 days ago, not even at the pulpit I have bothered to make a comment.
That's true. Very true.
And I get very, very concerned when I see, you know, little shaking, people be, you know, especially within the entire message circle, the followers of the minister William Branham. Mm-hmm. And allow me to also add the followers of Raymond Jackson. Mm. For somebody watching us, you may not know who they are. Don't bother. It's not important that you know who they are, but they are also servants of God that God has used mightily in this age.
Amen.
And have large followership. And I am also a follower of these two men, William Branham and Raymond Jackson.
Amen.
By God's personal revelation to me about these two ministries. We have followers, and as soon as a little shaking is taking place, you see all manner of interpretation. Could it be this? Could it be this? Could it be this? And then they begin to look for quotes from the prophet or from Raymond Jackson, or, you know, things like that. But you'll observe that I did not make any comment. Now, to me, you know, and I received mails, you know, WhatsApp, and clips, and then somebody is asking me, please, can you make a comment on this? What is happening in Israel now? What comes to my mind is there's nothing happening here in Israel for the past 11, 12 days that is new. They've always been having that.
Yes, sir.
You know, they've always been having that problem. And this is a problem between Hamas and Israel.
That's right.
Another group is Hezbollah.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that these are militant groups long declared even to be terrorists that have decided that Israel will not find peace because to them, Israel is occupying their land, the land of Palestine, and they want to constitute themselves as the armies that will chase Israel out. They call them occupation. They call them, you know, all those funny terminologies. And since Israel has been there, they've not known peace. You know, so once a while they have this. It's just that this one came in a little bit frightening dimension because the rockets, the attack. Can you imagine in a day 500, you know, rockets launched
against Israel.
Against Israel. And so it became very worrisome. But you know, the nation of Israel also, knowing the kind of
neighbors
they have, you know, they have bunkers. So that's why you will not see much of casualties from such launch. Immediately it happens, they have underground bunkers. Everybody goes in, alarm is blown. Everybody already, all Israelis are soldiers anyway.
That's right.
You know, the average Israeli is already a trained military man.
Hallelujah.
So, what will bear as an end time sign is not Hamas. Neither will it be Hezbollah, according to the scripture.
Wow.
Always watch the scripture. Take note. Take note. Okay. Yes, Zechariah chapter 12. Let's start Zechariah chapter 12.
Zechariah 12.
Yes.
Says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Mm-hmm. Seeth the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, mm-hmm. and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling mm-hmm. unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a bothersome stone.
What did he say?
Verse 2 says,
verse
2
and verse 3 is my emphasis.
Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about.
Unto all the people round about.
When they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a bothersome stone.
Jerusalem
for all
will be a bothersome stone for all people.
All that burning themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it.
Now, so, and we know today, tiny city like that,
yes, sir,
is a subject of discussion, even resolutions. Imagine, Boko Haram is killing people in Nigeria. Did you hear any resolution in the nation? Nothing. But as soon as that happens, United Nations, then we are coming together, the Security Council, to, you know, make a resolution concerning what is happening over there. And I want you to note that why I said what is happening is just the usual thing to make sure they are not at peace. But you will notice that the United States of America, under Donald Trump, had to move their embassy to Jerusalem. And you saw the headline news it made and how the whole Arab world reacted. And you will notice that there is something here, you know, that he will make Jerusalem a burdensome
stone.
For those who may not be aware of some of these things, I want you to see that we all know Jerusalem is the city of David.
Amen.
And that particular land where the temple is built was purchased by David.
Amen.
It belonged to David. He paid for it.
Amen.
So, and anything that is your own is for you and your children.
Amen.
It belonged to Israel.
Amen.
But in fulfillment of prophecies, Jerusalem has become the capital of Israel.
Amen.
And that is where the temple, the holy temple, is built. And you will notice that when Babylon will come and all the Romans will come, they are always interested in destroying that temple. They always go for the temple to be destroyed because they know that is where Israel meets with their God. So it's just make sure that, you know, no link with their God. But God dwells not in any building built with hands.
Amen.
Will you allow me to say this? God dwells in his word.
Amen.
When his word goes forth, it is God that is moving.
Hallelujah.
And the appropriate time, he will fulfill it. So,
amen.
When the city was besieged and taken over by General Titus, as we know the history, fulfilling other prophecies, other scriptures given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and then other prophets, it came to pass that they were, you know, taken away in hundreds of years, scattered in Europe and other parts of the world. And then these Arabs came over there. But it was under a prophecy that they were dispersed, and there are other scriptures that say they will come back.
Amen.
And that was fulfilled with the 1948 declaration that brought the land, gave the land back to Israel. It is the land of Palestine.
Amen.
But the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, was formed to make sure Israel never stayed there. Now, watch it. that there are wars that were fought. And every war that was fought was for Israel to claim their land. Mm. That is another principle entirely when it comes to even the Christian faith. So when Israel, they remember, they barely, without established army, without, you know, the 1948-49 war, as they came in, God will come down and fight for Israel.
That's right.
1967 war, again. Yes, in fact, the six days was the time that all the neighboring Egypt, all the neighboring countries came together.
The Arab League.
Exactly like it happened, the plan against Jehoshaphat. Mm. And before you know what, in 6 days, a small, tiny country like that defeated them and used that opportunity and grabbed more land. That was when they grabbed land, including the Gaza Strip,
that
they talk about. Mm. And even entered Egyptian land.
Yeah.
Even the Golan Heights.
Yes, sir.
And collected all those places. And the president of Egypt knew better than to sign a peace accord and collected back their land. But I want you to know that including Jordan, including all, they are all land that belong to Israel. And
time
is going to come, they will collect all their land.
Time will come, they will collect all their land.
They will collect all their land.
So did you just say Jordan?
Including Jordan.
Jordan is a country of its own today.
It's a country in the land that God gave Israel.
We'll get to that, sir. Continue your analysis.
Whether you get to that or not, they will get to that. Not you. They will get to that. Look at the map of the land of Canaan that was given to Abraham and his seed. Mm. Then you will see all those countries, so-called, all the territories there. You know, even part of Lebanon. Mm. They all belong to Israel. Don't worry. The time will come, they will know.
It's part of my question, sir.
Whatever it is, I have answered you. It's not for us, it's for them. But every inch of the land that God gave Israel, they will possess.
Hey.
That is what you
every
have to know.
Inch of the land that God gave
Israel. Every inch of the land that God gave Abraham and his seed shall return to Israel. Hmm. Now, but watch it here. Zechariah chapter 12, where we just read,
yes,
he said, you will make Jerusalem
a cup of trembling.
A cup of trembling.
And a burdensome stone.
And a burdensome stone is the whole world not burdening themselves about that city of Jerusalem. Mm. And while the whole world is interested in that city called Jerusalem, look, it is in that Jerusalem that God allowed Solomon's temple was built.
Amen.
And became the temple of God. Now, imagine that after the Gentiles came in AD 70, moved these people away, captivities, destroyed everything. The Arabs came in there on the same city, about the same spot, as historians want to put it, that temple was built. They come to make that place their own holy site. Now, that is where you see the burdensome stone we talk about. Mm-hmm. Now, the Jews will not go to any other place to build their temple.
That's right.
Jerusalem is, in fact, it was David that pronounced Jerusalem their eternal city, eternal capital. Mm. That Jerusalem is their eternal capital. Netanyahu repeated it.
Amen.
That Jerusalem is their eternal capital.
Eternal undivided capital.
And it shall be undivided. They will not share it with the Arabs. In fact, that is why Netanyahu... You know, there's something interesting about the Jews. Hmm. It's just like also the Americans. And that is what makes a country great. Hmm. You know, you discover that politically, they are divided. Mm. The opposition, they are even slamming a corruption investigation, a corruption charge against
Netanyahu.
But you know that but when it comes to sovereignty, they immediately get united. When they come to facing their enemies out there, they immediately come united. And that is the secret of the strength of every country. I pray that in Nigeria,
Amen.
We will come across and not, you know, you see, because of political difference, they could even, you know, go when they, you know, you know what is happening, you know. And they got united. I hope you know the history of the what created the latest problem. The latest problem was created, you know, 1967 war. That was when that city of Jerusalem, they used the opportunity and they conquered that city.
That's right.
Captured that city. And that city came under the sovereign rule of Israel.
That's right.
It meant so much to them until it is the day is set aside to celebrate it. And it's a ceremony, it's a national ceremony.
Jerusalem Day.
They call it Jerusalem Day. And it's always the 28th day of the Jewish Hebrew calendar of year. And this year's own fell on May the 9th and 10th. And that happened to be the day of the
Ramadan,
the Ramadan end of the Ramadan. And their Salah celebration. Usually, the Jew, the youth, and this, they will pass through a route that passes through that mosque that was built on that same temple.
Wow.
And they were supposed to march past there, and these Arabs said they will not allow them to pass through there, do that ceremony, because they too will be holding their own holy day, their holy day there, the Salah, the celebration. And we know how it went, and even though Netanyahu suspended it.
Yes, sir.
But you know, some still went. The Jews, for you. The
fanatics.
The fanatics still went. And then before you know what, it escalated the tension that was on and generated all this that is going on now. So I want you to note that with the mosque built there, and Israel also insisting that their temple must be there, that is where the trouble is ahead. Because the Muslims believe that that is one of their holy sites, their most holy sites. After Medina, then you come there. That is where they believe on that mount, according to their stories, that Muhammad was taken up.
Ascended.
He ascended to heaven. Therefore, the mosque is there in commemoration of that. So it's a holy place. Israel is saying, you lie. This is where our first temple was built.
That's right.
Second temple was built there too. And the temple that Jesus Christ is coming to rule will be built there.
Amen.
Where he will stay the millennium.
That's right.
So you can see why we say it should be what the Bible says, a bodysome stone. And it says also a cup of trembling. Why is it a cup of trembling? Because it is a time bomb. How will you build your temple when the mosque is already there? That means you have to destroy the mosque to build. Therefore, it is a time bomb, the cup of trembling. Anything happens, there will be serious problem. Bodysome stone, because meetings will be held in the United Nations, and then meeting here, compromises here, all about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the most popular capital city in the whole world.
That's
now.
True.
More popular than Washington, D.C. More popular than Moscow. More popular than London. More popular than Lagos. In fact, Abuja, any country at all in the world, everybody, Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. Mm. And no country has the influx of tourists like that city, particularly. No city in the whole world has the influx of tourists like Jerusalem.
Wow.
Now, you will discover that Satan is interested in that city. Allow me to say this.
Please, sir.
You didn't ask me, but I will say it. Why is it a cup of tremble and a burdensome stone? Why is Satan interested in that city of Jerusalem? Now, you discover that not only is Satan interested, but God himself is also interested, as we see in Deuteronomy chapter 11.
Wow. So both God and Satan are interested in
Jerusalem. Both God and Satan are interested in that city of Jerusalem. Why?
Deuteronomy 11, sir.
Yeah, read it from verse 10. Read it up to verse 12.
Okay. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence he came out.
Yes.
Where thou sowest thy seed and waterest
it. This is Moses telling Israel, the Jews, as they journey to their promised land in the wilderness. What did he say?
And waterest it with thy foot as the garden of herbs.
Uh-huh.
But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys.
Yes.
And drinketh water of the rain of heaven.
Uh-huh.
A land which the Lord thy God careth for.
Now, listen now. Again.
A land which the Lord thy God careth for.
A land that the Lord your God cares for, that particular land.
The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it.
The eyes of the Lord thy God is always upon it.
From the beginning of the year, even unto the end
every
of the year.
Day of the year. Every day of the year, every moment of the day, God's eyes is upon Jerusalem. That Jerusalem. Why will God be so interested in that place? Just to make it capital? No, for Israel? No, let's go back. When God created, I believe so, and please, you may prove me right.
Wow.
I have had reason to say this before. When God created man, where did he put him?
In the Garden of Eden.
A particular spot on earth.
That's true.
Satan came in there and separated, made God to chase them away from that place. Man, to chase man away from that place, that spot called Garden that was the east of Eden.
Eden.
Which we call today the Garden of Eden. Yeah, the Euphrates, the river, Tigris, and the Euphrates, were boundaries of that land. And these rivers today, they are, linked with Iraq.
Yeah.
Like that. So you want to say that means the Garden of Eden was around Iraq or something like that. Now, watch it. Nobody can defeat the purpose of God.
Amen.
I don't believe that God will now go and look for another spot and put the second Adam or the last Adam that is coming to replace the fallen Adam. Christ. Adam fell from the Garden of Eden where God kept him. If there's going to be a replacement, a restoration, because immediately Adam fell, there is a restoration.
Amen.
If you're going to restore, you will restore back to where you kept him before.
Amen.
And I believe that for God to be watching over a particular spot every day of the year.
The eyes of thy Lord thy God are always on.
Always. They say every day of the year.
From the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year.
There must be something special.
Mm.
It must be the Eden where he initially put
man.
Now you could say because it's just keeping a covenant because David had dedicated that land to him. Therefore, he will be watching over what is dedicated to him. I don't believe that because it was dedicated to him. But remember that David was a prophet.
Yes, he told David about it.
So he must have been the one that led David to go there.
Yes, sir. The Bible says so, sir.
So you maybe we'll get that scripture later. Thank you, sir. Remember the scripture.
Yes, sir. And that was after David numbered the people.
Yes.
And then the judgment angel was judging Jerusalem. Okay. And God said they should go and erect an altar in the threshing floor of Onan.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
So it was God that directed him. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. That's in 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and from verse 18.
Please read it.
Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of God, which is speak in the name of the Lord. Then,
of course,
he bought it.
And then, but you know, he was going to offer it to him free.
Then, chapter 22, sir, yes. From verse 1. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. Mm-hmm. It was after he sacrificed, fire came down, consumed it.
And apart from that, you know, he was to give him free.
Yes, sir.
And David insisted he will
buy it. He bought it from him, sir.
He bought it from him.
Yes, sir.
So that is the ownership.
Yes, sir.
Now, why will God specifically say go to that spot?
Hmm.
And it is that same spot again he's watching all year round.
Sir, you thought God's chosen place of worship.
Yes.
And you quoted that the place which the Lord has chosen to choose.
To place his name there.
He said when they come to the promised land, he's choosing a place.
Exactly.
Is that Jerusalem? Is that the place he chose?
No. Where he chose was the temple.
Yes, sir.
And the temple was built in Jerusalem.
Mm.
Now, so, and that is where the ark was kept.
Okay.
So, therefore, that's the only place worship will be accepted.
Accepted, okay.
Now, I believe that, remember that the whole topography of the earth was distorted after the flood.
Mm. That's right.
After the flood of Noah, we call it the flood of Noah, the whole topography was distorted.
Mm.
But God knows where that Eden was moved to.
Hallelujah. The earth is the Lord.
Earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
So I believe that it is that spot. That is where Adam was kept. And that is why in the restoration, God will not go and look for another land. If he does, then Satan has defeated him.
Sir, I know you're a pastor, a teacher of God's word.
Yes.
But even in the Jewish tradition,
yes,
they believe that life, that was where God created mankind.
That they believe that it is in Jerusalem, they believe so. That the Jewish tradition believes that is where man was created.
Yes, sir.
That is where Noah's ark was built.
Yes, sir.
That is where all the beginning of the beginnings, they believe it with man, it was in Jerusalem. Therefore, you can see how much they cherish that place.
Hmm.
You know, and you just look at, if you go there, this place is a desert. I've been there. And you just see that. So the first time I reached, I said, what is all the fight about this? It is because Satan, it is a matter between Satan and God.
Mm.
Nothing more.
Mm.
A cup of trembling and a body's whole stone for all nations.
Mm.
So you can see immediately they get in there. Satan is attacking. Of course, remember, it is a type of the Christian faith. You know, as soon as you give your life to Christ, Satan will say you will not enjoy the benefit of being a Christian.
Mm.
And that is why we watch and pray. Mm. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What Israel is fighting is not Hamas.
Mm.
What Israel is fighting is not Hezbollah. What Israel is fighting is not even the Palestinians. It's not even the Arabs. It is a beast. It's a beast.
Mm.
It's a satanic beast that is causing it.
But sir, are we going to, you said this has been going on, this one with Hamas, which is true.
Yes.
But wars like this, should we keep expecting them?
Now, as far as the end time is concerned, remember that this has been going on since 1948.
Yes, sir.
Till date. The prophecies that we need to look at have no bearing with what is going on now. Because you will discover that this Friday, there is a truce between Israel and Hamas.
That's true, sir.
And who brokered the peace? It's the same Arab nation of Qatar and Egypt. So, but the war that will come that is in the scripture, it will include Qatar, Egypt, all of them, they will come together to fight Israel. But now, this one, now you can see, look. The reason is because who is to lose? It's the Palestinians, Gaza people there, because each time when they launched it, Israel told them, say, you will pay dearly for this. He told them, you will pay dearly for it. You know, if it is a weaponry, they are more armed. Intelligence, they are more.
Of course.
All their arsenal, wherever Hamas is keeping their arsenals, Israel knows. Whatever they have, Israel knows. Wherever they are getting them from, Israel knows. Israel has one of the best intelligence services in the whole world.
Wow.
And so they know. That is why when it's time to strike, they will know where to go. And then you will notice the system they took. You know, Hamas, to attract the world sympathy, so that they will say war crime, they will come among the civilians and be launching their weapon from there, so that if Israel retaliates, there will be civilian casualties. And but Israel knows where they are. You notice before they go, they will go with aircraft, drop leaflets, tell the civilians, get away from this area, get away from this area. They give them time to get away. If you don't get away, anything will happen to you. They even give window of escape. But even if wherever the Hamas leaders are, they know where they are. You saw how they were bringing down buildings. Boko Haram can't go to Israel. It will last 1 week. When I see how these people are trained, and that is how we Christians should be spiritually trained. You know, with precision. With precision. The fact that it is the same Arab people that was brokering this, let me know that it is not the war that we are expecting.
Okay.
Yes. The war we are expecting is in Ezekiel chapter 38. Let's read it.
Ezekiel chapter 38 says.
Now read it from verse 1. Listen very carefully. It's a prophecy.
Okay. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus said the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal.
Turn the back. Note, Gog, Meshech, Tubal, called at that time, are modern nations that are round about some of these Arab nations. So I want you to take note of it. Yes.
And I'll turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth and all thy army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia and Ethiopia, Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmets.
Can you see?
Goma and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days shall...
Now, note verse 8, very important.
After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword.
Again, in the latter?
In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword.
Which is that land? It's the Israel. Land of Israel.
And is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste.
Because that land has always been waste. People have not been there until they came back.
But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them.
They will dwell safely. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead.
Amen. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass, that it, at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling in towers.
Israel. Yes.
And having neither bars nor gates.
Yes.
To take a spoil and to take a prey. Mm-hmm. To turn their hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited.
They are now inhabited by Israel.
Mm-hmm. And upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, mm-hmm. which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Sheba and Dedan mm-hmm. and the merchant of Tishash will say on with all the young lions thereof shall mm-hmm. say unto thee, Had thou come to take a spoil,
uh-huh.
as thou gathered thy company to take a prey,
mm-hmm.
to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, mm-hmm. to take a great spoil,
mm-hmm.
therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog,
go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shall thou not know it,
uh-huh.
and thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts.
From the north.
Thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a great army.
Wow.
And that shall come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be in the latter days, mm-hmm. and I will bring thee against my land,
mm-hmm.
that the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee.
Oh, he's the one that will allow them to come.
Before their eyes.
That the people will know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
My, go on.
Thus said the Lord God, Are that ye of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel,
mm-hmm.
which prophesied in those days many years, that I will bring thee against them,
hey.
And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, said the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face.
Wow.
For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken.
Uh-huh.
Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel,
mm-hmm.
so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon mm-hmm. the face of the earth shall shake at my presence.
Mm-hmm.
And the mountains shall be thrown down,
mm-hmm.
and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God.
That's right.
Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bounds, and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain,
mm-hmm.
and great hailstones, fire and brimstone.
Wow.
Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations,
hey,
and they shall know that I am the Lord.
The Lord. That is, when all these Arab nations will come against Israel, God himself, a time is going to come. That is the next war that is coming up.
Mm.
God himself will now come down and fight this battle by himself.
Will this happen before the rapture?
Now this is the placement. Now, these are some of the events that we expect to happen within that period. Because with that type of war, attention of the whole world, because that will go beyond United Nations resolution.
Mm.
And certainly, there will not be a need for world peace.
Mm.
When you see them gather like that against Israel, nations, and they are supposed to be members of the United Nations Organization, certainly something will happen that will necessitate the need for a man of peace.
Hmm.
That is what I believe, that the Antichrist that will be coming from Rome will seize that as opportunity. Let's have peace. Let's have peace. And then, because Israel will be looking for peace themselves. The whole Arab nations will be looking for peace. The whole world will be looking for peace.
Hmm.
Because what will happen will shake the whole world.
Hmm.
And I believe that is the time, opportunity for the Antichrist to seize, because he will be the most, he's still the most respected. The office we're looking for, where that Antichrist thing will manifest, according to the scripture, is the most respected religious person on earth today. Mm. Accepted by the Muslims, if accepted by all religions.
Except the bright.
You know, all religions. All religions.
Mm.
You know, and I believe that within that period,
mm.
because the Antichrist will now come to, he will go to Israel by that covenant that will last 7 years,
mm.
which is actually covering the period of the last 7 years after the rapture.
Mm.
And so that lets us know, by the time the Antichrist is taking off to go there, the rapture should strike.
Wow.
And I want to believe that God could also do it, that while the attention is focusing on what is happening in the Middle East, that war, and that the attention will be so much there, then he will just silently come and collect his own and go.
Amen.
So the whole world will not know what is happening, because all satellite stations, all press, all churches, everybody is, hey, what is happening?
Israel.
Hey, Israel, Israel, the Arab, Middle East, and everything. While the news is going on there, one by one, we are taken off and we are gone. So that the man of peace can take his office, the Antichrist.
So definitely we will see this war.
I believe so. We will see it.
Wow.
I believe that we will see it. There must be something that will happen in the world that will take the world's attention away from us. Because remember, it will be a secret catching away.
Amen.
You know, remember that Christ is not coming to touch the earth. He's only coming to hang and call us to go and meet him.
Wow, you've never said it on this light before. This is interesting. Right? And it makes perfect sense.
Yes, and that is the same thing. So you can see that the Ezekiel 38-39 war is a war that takes place when Israel has taken, you know, their land safely. They call it, you know, on walled cities because it's a modern time where you don't build walls anymore. So, and he said to be in the latter times.
Yes, sir.
You know, now you also see something in Joel chapter 3.
Joel chapter 3.
Yes, the first 15 verses there from verse 1.
For behold, in those days and in that time.
Maybe you will let's if, you know, we say Ezekiel 38, 39, you only read chapter 38.
Yes, sir.
But it is in chapter 39 that you see how God will come down.
Okay.
Pick it from verse 1. Let's get the picture, because we're talking about the aftermath of what happened. So let's get to see what will happen.
Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee.
Hey!
I will cause thee to come up from the north part, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the only one in Israel.
Now you can see, by the time that God comes down, the way he fights that war now causes Israel to now recognize their God the more.
Amen.
So you see, their mind is already prepared for the revival that is coming to Israel. Go ahead.
Verse 8. Behold, it is come and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken.
And now watch 7 years. Verse 9.
And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the sheets and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staffs and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years.
You can imagine that will give you a picture of how armed these people were. They actually came ready to overrun Israel.
So they will get that angry to that
extent.
So
they will remember that God says he's the one steering them to come. Because it's a judgment he wants to pass on them.
Amen.
And to magnify himself in the midst of them when they are fighting his people. That's why I say, when God is saying, leave them, the battle belong to me. Bless your enemies. Do good to them. Because nobody messes up with the children of God and go free. Oh, forgive God. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. Your own is pray for forgiveness of your enemies, because so that the anger will be reduced. Even Christ said, forgive them for they don't know what they are doing. Did God still not deal with them in AD 70?
Indeed.
Okay. So it is, if Christians will allow God to fight for them, the battle is very sweet. When you see God fighting your enemies, you know, and so for 7 years they are still burning weapons. That tells you the quantity of the arsenals, weaponry that they came with. Already, I think, one time Iraq had the largest number of foot soldiers, infantry. Now it's Iran.
Wow.
They're in the millions. So imagine millions of people all armed with arms, and then God comes down and destroys all of them.
Leaves about a sixth part.
And just leaves, just divide them into six, then one part. So you can see the few, those who are left to testify. Okay, now, read on.
Verse 10. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. Mm-hmm. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude. And they shall call it the valley of Amongog.
Do you know why he called it the valley of the passengers? Tourism. Because when that happens, everybody will like to travel to Israel to look at it. They will have to be closing their nose because of the dead bodies everywhere. How long will it take? Verse 12.
And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land.
You can imagine, for 7 months they are still burying dead bodies.
So the picture here is like of a ground invasion.
Yes. Now, you see, it's a ground invasion because they are moving to take over.
So these people want to actually
take over. You know, now remember, they said they are coming with their horses. All they are saying here is that they are coming with their weaponry. And so, you know, it's prophecy. He will only give it as at the time he was giving the prophecy. You won't know the advancement of weaponry now. If you observe the 1967 Six-Day War, you will observe that the way it was fought, the planes, the Egyptian planes that were stationed that they were supposed to use, never ever took off. That's what I want you to know.
Yes, sir.
Why? There was something that was done, and it is, of course, it was an inspiration that render those planes incapable of taking off. And then the Israelites came and bombarded them, and that shocked them. The same thing. Israel is a nuclear nation, where before you take off, they will have gone and disarmed those, your aircrafts and whatever thing you think you have. So it will be left with the foot soldiers. And for the foot soldiers in that 1967 war, remember, it's a desert. What God did, according to his, all the histories, they are all everywhere. He used a storm, sandstorm, that, you know, confused the enemy. You know, and then the mines that they had kept, expecting that they will attract the Israel to come. They put landmines everywhere. God, he came in the night, used a wild wind, blew off all the sand, blew off everything, and exposed all the mines.
Wow.
When God, he says, he's the mighty one in battle. So, what will Israel do? Just detonate all of them and move ahead and then collect their land from them.
Wow, this is very interesting. So, sir, we're seeing it like a repeat of that 1967 war now.
Exactly.
Where all these countries will come and they want to invade Israel.
They want to invade Israel. That is what is coming up. Joel also saw it.
Okay. Joel chapter 3.
Yes, read it from verse 1 up to verse 15.
Okay. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an allot and sold a girl for wine.
It's the same war
that they might drink.
That Joel saw.
Wow.
It's the same war.
Okay.
Because, let's go back, sorry. Let's go back to Ezekiel 39.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, there's something that we need to just point out for the people to understand the reason for that war. from verse 21.
Okay, Ezekiel 39 from 21. Yes. And I will set my glory among the heathen.
That's after all this, the war is taking place.
And all the heathen shall see my judgments that I have executed.
Thank you.
And my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God.
That's
from that
day
and forward.
So from there they will now know. That's how God is calling their hearts to him.
And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity.
The heathen will know. You see, and what is the iniquity? That is why I say you should hold on. For the purpose of Bible study, what was this iniquity? That is the iniquity that Jesus... Let's read some scripture. Hang your finger there in that verse and go to Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew 24.
Verse 1 and verse 2. I'll give you some scripture.
Matthew 24, 1 and 2.
Yes.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And the disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
Yes.
And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Now, but why Luke chapter 19, verse 41 to verse 44?
Amen. Luke 19, 41 to 44 says, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side. And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation.
Because thou knewest not the time of thine
visitation.
Now, if you go to, that was fulfilled in AD 70.
Amen.
And that is what Hosea was now prophesying in Hosea chapter 6.
Hosea 6.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Verse 1 and 2.
Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight.
And when were they smitten?
AD 70.
In AD 70. And when will he revive them? The revival will start with them coming back to their land. And then when they come back to their land, they will now have their revival.
Amen.
He will revive them. The revival there is not just coming back to their homeland. It is having a relationship back with the God that they rejected in AD 33. Okay. So here we are. This smiting. Now go on. Now let's go to Ezekiel 39.
Yes, sir. And verse 23 again. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity.
It was because of their iniquity. They crucified Jesus Christ. They rejected the God of Israel.
Because they trespassed against me. Therefore, I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to the transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob.
Can you see?
And have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. And will be jealous for my holy name.
And he started that process in 1948.
After that, they have borne their shame and all their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land and not made them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I'm sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them anymore there. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, said the Lord God. Sir, not to take you out of context, I discovered that during these uprisings we had just about 12 days back, around the world, especially in European countries, there was anti-Semitism growing. People, you know, speaking against the Jews and everything. He says he will leave none of them there. He will gather them out of all their
land. He will gather them down. And one of the things he's doing is this enmity. Keep them uncomfortable in diaspora. We saw recently they even located some of them in Ethiopia.
Yes, sir.
And brought them back. All of a sudden, this anti-Semitism in Europe, particularly in Europe, and it's even... going to America now. Go to a synagogue and just pray.
Yes, sir.
And then identify them. Is God allowing it so that, remember, he said he will use the hunters.
Mm.
So that in Jeremiah 16:16. How will he bring them back?
Jeremiah 16:16 says,
yes.
Behold, I will send for many fishers.
The fishers were the Zionist movement that began to call their attention back to the land, offering them even money to buy land in Palestine. Let's think of going home. You know, there is something about God. When it is time to go home, there is an anointing that he releases.
The homegrown anointing.
Hallelujah. Can't you see, for the first time, we are having rapture.
Amen.
All of a sudden, the true bride, they are now talking of open.
Ongoing.
You know, that's one of the things. I met a few people who said what attracted them to Brad Television was that they were there. For the first time, he's hearing people talking about homegoing, rapture. We say we're in the end time. So what should we be talking about? So there is an anointing he releases, and he can do it anyhow. One of it is he used the fishermen.
Amen.
The fishers and what?
And they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them.
Now, he didn't say one hunter. What did he use?
Many hunters.
Many hunters will be hunting them in Europe, hunting them in America, hunting them in Africa. All of a sudden, the real Jews will be uncomfortable outside. And you know how God does it. You know, when they spot them where they are organized in such a way that any Jew that wants to come back, there is a government policy to receive them.
Yes, sir.
They get to build house for them, build everything ready for them to attract them to come back. When they are bringing 100, forgetting 100 houses for 100 families already rented.
Wow.
That's why they keep building. You notice, it's not individuals that are building, it's government that is building. You know, it's a nation of God.
Amen.
And when God's heart is a matter, that matter is different.
Wow. Okay, so reading Joel 3.
Yes. Let's read on now.
It says the same with Ezekiel 38.
It's the same thing. Read on.
39.
Let's go to Joel. You will now notice, start again from verse 1.
Okay, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat.
Can't you see that is the same Ezekiel 38:39 war?
And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations.
Were they not scattered among the nations?
That's right.
From AD 70?
And parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and I've given a boy for an allot.
Imagine.
And so they gave for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine?
Okay.
Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your head. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my godly pleasant things.
Yes.
The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men.
Okay, no.
Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong.
Okay.
Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Dida, cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be waking and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fat overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining.
And
the Lord also... verse 15.
You know... So, is that not the same setting?
War.
The same war. So, you can see Prophet Joel saw it. Prophet Ezekiel saw it. Even Prophet Isaiah saw it. Jeremiah saw it. And other prophets. Because it is certainly a great occasion that God will need witnesses to confirm what he will do on earth here, to magnify himself among the heathen. You know what we learn here? When you see God dealing with his children, he will use somebody to deal with you as his king. When he finished dealing with you, then he will turn again and face that person that he used to deal with you and deal with him again. This our God is too mysterious. We should fear him.
Amen. We should fear him. We should okay, fear. So we'll take a short break. When we'll come back, we'll continue to rightly divide these words of truth. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.